Harper One and Harper Audio present Driving the Green Book, a road trip through the living history of Black resistance by Alvin Hall with Carl Weber. This is Alvin Hall. A note before we begin. For notes on the text, don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider, or go directly to harpercollins.com/pages/drivingthegreenbook. To the generous people who, over the course of my Green Book journeys, shared their experiences, memories, and truth to make all of us wiser, stronger, and kinder. And to J. Stephen Shepherd, my lawyer, agent, and friend, who never wavered in his passionate support of every phase of my Green Book journeys, the road trips, the podcasts, and this book. That Black people have had to create mechanisms for survival is an indictment of America. But it is also a testament to people of color that we have found ways to cope and survive and navigate this incredibly unfair and complex world. The Green Book and a lot of other things like it were the tools that people used to navigate. Brian Stevenson, lawyer and founder of the Equal Justice Initiative. Things like the Green Book tell us there's somebody in my corner, somebody who wants to make sure I safely get to my destination. I think that's a metaphor for life. We want to help people safely through life. T. Marie King, community organizer, facilitator, and trainer in Birmingham, Alabama. Introduction. You would think that my journey with the Negro Motorist Green Book would have begun in an automobile. In fact, it began in a plane. The year was 2015. I was flying to London and, as I often do, had brought along a stack of magazines to pass the time. One article about road trips around the U.S. referred in passing to the Negro Motorist Green Book. As far as I remember, it probably mentioned that the travel guide had been used by Black travelers during segregation, but I don't recall the word segregation itself being used. My interest was immediately piqued. I had never heard of the publication. That's not surprising, considering that I grew up in the 1950s and 1960s, dirt poor, living on land my family owns in the rural Florida panhandle. The phrase dirt poor means we possessed only that parcel of land that we lived on, growing and raising most of what we ate. Most Black people in the area lived along sandy, unpaved roads that wove through scrub pine forests with a few live oak trees draped with hanging moss. Lots of raccoons, opossum, squirrels, snakes, birds, and insects lived in the underbrush. The landscape was not verdant. It always looked slightly dry. But it was always humid because the area was near the Gulf of Mexico. We did not own a car. We could not afford one. We never traveled for vacations or other leisure activities. We only traveled to visit relatives, usually being driven by a family friend who owned a car, to places we could reach between sunrise and sunset. No one I knew drove overnight. So my family would have had no need for the Negro Motorist Green Book. Nonetheless, the publication's name and the article's brief description captured my imagination. I resolved to find out more. Back in New York after my work in London, I began my search by going to the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture. Located in Harlem and part of the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?